Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 8. Luke in chapter 8. Sunday nights we've been going through and teaching and preaching on the teachings of Christ. And we're doing it in chronological order from the very first message that Jesus presented, and then study through the Gospels as for the things that he has presented for us to learn from. And tonight we're looking here at the book of Luke. Now, the last lesson we taught on this, Jesus had taken the disciples to Gadara, and there he introduced them to demon possession, the demon-possessed man, and how that he was able to cast the devils out. And so no doubt this was a very important lesson. The Gadarians, they actually, after they had to lose the swine, which was sinful for them to be a part of, they had to choose between Christ and the riches of the world, basically, with the swine. And they asked Jesus to leave. And what a sad thing when people choose the world over Christ, or they choose addictions over Christ, or sin over Christ. And that's the devil. That's how powerful the old devil is. And so we have to be aware of that. Well, then he gets them back on the ship and he returns. And we're going to be reading that tonight here, Luke chapter 8. And go ahead and stand with me at verse 40. Just realized I forgot to put my contact in, so if I miss a word or two, it's because I can't see. That's funny. I've never done that before. I usually have a pair of glasses or something up here to help me out, but I think we can get by with it. All right, we'll see. But Luke in chapter 8 and verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, it's already been a blessing just being in the house of the Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, as we continue to study what you have preserved for us concerning the teachings that you have presented to us through the Gospels, I pray, God, that we would receive it tonight. I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. When Jesus returned from Gadara, Jairus, a ruler, a religious ruler, asked him to come and save his daughter from death. On his way, an afflicted woman is healed. She's healed of a fatal disease as well. And then he continues to go and raises this little girl from the dead. That's what we've read. That's what the next event and the teachings of Christ in chronological order, that's what he is presenting to his disciples, as well as how it has been preserved for us to learn from it. And there's three lessons that I want to present tonight that I believe that is being taught through this event and through the teachings of Christ here. The first that we look to here is that Jesus is never too busy for those who would diligently seek him. But he wants us to diligently seek him. Now, we have the teachings over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Let me just read that to you. But chapter 11 of Hebrews, in verse 6, it says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe," this is something that we must believe, "that he is a rewarder of them that diligently," there's that word again, "that diligently seek him." One who is ready to persevere to the end. When you look to God, are you ready to persevere for whatever you're looking to God for? Or are we easily turned aside? Or we give up? Sometimes we give up right before God answers the prayer. And it could be that we have just not persevered. So we find here that in verse 41, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a ruler of the synagogues, a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogues, and he fell down at Jesus' feet." Now, Jairus is a religious ruler who held a position in the synagogue, who was risking his position in the synagogue because the other rulers had already determined to discredit Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, a religious ruler. Somewhat, this would have been somewhat the same, possibly. And he came to Jesus by night, not showing much faith, not showing much diligence and perseverance in seeking the truth. In verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. So now we find in verse 43 here, there was this woman, although weak from her illness, fought to reach Christ and touch his garment. Two different examples here of this religious ruler and then this woman. This religious ruler had a daughter that was on her deathbed. This woman had a physical infirmity that she had looked everywhere and did everything that she knew possible. And during the time of her life and the medical profession at this time had done everything they could, which they could not heal her of this blood disease. And both of them sought and was ready to persevere. Now, she was one that was very weak and very sickly, and yet she was able to fight her way through the crowd using every ounce of strength that she would have to just touch the hem of his garment. Seek. Diligently seek. Jeremiah, in speaking to Israel and revealing to them God's message for Israel in Jeremiah in chapter 29, let me just read this to you in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Sometimes we want the answer to prayer. We want the blessings of God. But are we really diligently seeking to know God, to know His will? In Acts in chapter 17, this is the first lesson, the idea here of diligently seeking Him. In Acts in chapter 17 and verse 24, let me just read this to you, if I can read it. Acts in chapter 17 and verse 24. God that made the world. When we're seeking God, is that how we look to the one that we're seeking after? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. Sometimes we think that we're doing God a favor by worshiping Him, by serving Him. No, it's not that we do that because God needs that. Is we do that because we need God. I believe coming to church is a part of diligently seeking Him. I believe in prayer and fasting is diligently seeking Him. I believe in searching the Scriptures is diligently seeking Him. Knowing who He is and doing all that I can to seek Him. Neither is worship with man's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. I'm seeking after the God that actually gives me life. I'm seeking after the God who controls my every breath, who keeps my heart beating. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. What a blessing to have that type of perception of who God is. And when we have need of God, then we are willing and ready to understand who he is and do our due diligence and diligently, according to his plan and his ways, seek after him. In these two stories, these two illustrations that God has preserved for us in the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ, for Jairus and this woman with an issue of blood, the key to both of their success and their answer to prayer was diligently seeking after him. The second lesson that we learn from these two illustrations that we have recorded here is that Christ can do what others cannot do. Amen. Amen. Now, some of what we've already read in the other scriptures revealed to that if he is the creator God, and he is, there's nothing impossible with God. Amen. Go back with me in our text here in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. Jairus knew of only one who could help. He knew that without God's intervention, that his only daughter, 12 years of age, was going to die. Was it the last choice? I don't know. I don't get that understanding from the reading of this. Had he tried different things? Yes, no doubt about it. He would have. But he knew she was going to die. And he knew what he was going to risk by going to him and openly, publicly bowing down to him and worshiping him and asking him to come to his house. For he knew, outside of God intervening, she would die. But he believed that Christ could do what no other could do. In Luke in chapter 8 and verse 43, and then it changes and goes to the woman. Jesus is on his way, but he has time for all. And we find here that a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Now, she had tried everything. She had tried all the medications. She had tried all the different doctors. She had probably been doing all sorts of different things, trying to find out some help for her situation, some healing, and she finally got to that place where she realized, outside of a godly intervention, I'm going to die. That's what we have here with this woman. The lady could not be helped by any other. But she believed that God could do all things. She believed in a living God who was able to do all things. He, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's talking about, Paul had just revealed the idea of when you receive Jesus Christ, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you have God upon inside of you, living inside of you. You have been sealed into the day of redemption. And as we understand whatever it is that we are facing in life, I can diligently seek a God who has no limitations. He can do even greater things than I can even imagine him doing. And sometimes we think it's an impossibility. But the God that we serve is able. God is able. And in Christ, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There is nothing that my God cannot do. Are we there? Do you believe the God that you serve is very much aware of what's going on in your life, and he's able to take care of whatever it is that you need to have taken care of? That's what we learn here, and that's what we're learning from Jesus, and that's what he wanted disciples to understand, is that he is that God. And when you diligently seek him, then you're more apt to get that answer to your prayer and get God to work in your life, as you need only God to work in your life. But the third thing that he reveals in these two lessons is that it requires faith. I've got to believe in God. I have to believe that God wants me to diligently seek his will and his help. Ultimately, in Luke in chapter 8 and verse 41, Jairus revealed his faith by falling down at Jesus' feet. Wow. In Matthew's account of this, and let me read that to you, in Matthew chapter 19, we find this in Matthew, Luke, and Mark and Luke's account, but in Matthew chapter 9, he says this about Jairus in chapter 9 and verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. She had already died before he had even a chance to approach Christ. But as he approached him, he had faith that Jesus was the Messiah, that he could do all things, and that he would come. He would heal his daughter by raising her from the dead. Amen. He had faith. If we have faith in him, we'll know who he is, and we'll approach him with a humble, undeserving spirit. Too often we try to barter with God. And yet God is not tempted. We try to demand of God. And who are we to demand anything of God? Simply, Jairus fell before him in holy, humble submission. And Jesus agreed to go with him. What we need to learn there. Faith and how to approach our God. Back over in the book of Mark, in chapter 5, we find a little bit more insight of what happened. In Mark in chapter 5, and verse 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by... Hold on here. No, that's chapter 6. I better go back a chapter. Chapter 5. Verse 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother, the damsel Jairus, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tabitha cumi, which is being interpreted as damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Those that didn't believe, he put out of the room. He doesn't want unbelief. He wants us to believe. In the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus told the woman that it was her faith that had made her whole. For many had touched him, but only she was made whole. You see, I believe that's one of the reasons he told them not to go and publicize that he actually raised their daughter from the dead, because that was not something that everyone would have happen. If that's something that they believed, then he would have had everyone coming from all around just for him to raise the dead, raise their dead loved ones. And it's not always God's will to raise the dead. It's not always God's will to heal an infirmity. This woman, it's recorded that she believed from within her. And the Bible clearly reveals that from the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If not his will to heal, is that going to cause you to lose your faith? If God allows someone to die that you've asked God to allow them to live, is that going to affect your faith? Why do some receive healing and others do not? I wish I could give you the answer to that. I can't give you the answer to that because every situation is different. All circumstances in each one of our lives are different. Only God knows why. But can I tell you that there's no doubt in my mind that God knows why. God knew why he was going to raise this 12-year-old back to life. God knew why he was going to give this woman that could not be healed any other way. God knew why he would use these two as an illustration for us to read and learn from. Throughout the ages and even during the time that Christ walked upon the face of the earth, it wasn't that he couldn't heal everyone, but it wasn't his will. Because throughout the ages, it's been appointed unto man once to die. And God knows, and sometimes only God knows, why some live and why some die. Talked to a surgeon, witness to my surgeon after the heart surgery, and showed my appreciation and told him that God believed that God worked through him in the circumstances. I can only do so much. It's God that causes the heart out for 6 hours, and I did all the repairs, and I am very good at what I do, and I repaired them exactly the way they need to be repaired. He said, but when I put your heart back in, that's all I could do. It was God that caused it to start beating again. He said, I've seen some that should have died that lived, and I've seen some that should have lived that died. I can only do what I can do. Wow. Why? I can't tell you exactly the reasons why, but I can tell you that God has a reason for why. I can't tell you why that John the Baptist had to be beheaded. I can't tell you why Peter had to be crucified upside down. I can't tell you exactly why the Apostle Paul had to live the rest of his life with this physical infirmity. I can't tell you why all these things, but I can tell you that God had a reason for each one. And I can tell you that God knows, and so can we, that all true believers will experience a healing. This body is only temporal, amen? My spirit is eternal. This world is temporal. My home in heaven is eternal. And knowing that can help take some of the sadness away when it's not God's will to heal and it's not God's will to save. Lesson one, diligently seek him. No matter what it is, no matter what kind of need you have, diligently seek after the God of all creation. Know that the God that you're seeking, diligently seeking after, can do what no other person can do. And then understand his help requires faith. What great lessons to learn from this passage of Scripture. If I could have every head bowed tonight and every eye closed. These lessons are there for us to learn from because all of us will face a need for them. All of us. We all have needs. And if you're saved, you have a God to turn to. And we ought to turn to him and diligently seek him. We have a God who is able, no doubt about it. He's able. And he wants us to have faith in his ability, faith in who he is. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of this passage of Scripture. In this chronological order that you are presenting to your disciples as well as preserving it for us to learn from. And I pray, God, that for each one, that whether the need is now or the need will be here tomorrow or the next day or the next day or whenever, that we would learn these lessons and apply those lessons to our own lives and our own faith. Bless in the invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.